Thanks for listening to this OCRFM podcast. Head to ocrfm.org.au to find more great content and information about how to donate and support this community radio station.
OCRFM wish to advise the following program may contain information and subjects that could be deemed controversial in nature. The aim of the show is to provide an opportunity for listeners to discuss issues in a non-confrontational, fact-based manner. Should you wish to join the conversation, please feel free to phone the station on
52321. I wish to begin by acknowledging the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nations, the traditional owners of the land on which I am recording today's episode. We pay our respects to their ancestors and elders, past, present, and emerging. We recognise and respect their unique cultural heritage, beliefs, and relationship to their traditional lands, which continue to be important to them today and into the future.
You're listening to From Paddocks to Pride on OCRFM with myself, Sarah. This segment aims to help provide a voice for the LGBTIQ+ community, or as I like to call it, the umbrella. Our aim is to ensure the community is supported and to reinforce that you should feel accepted as you are in the town you grew up in. While my views are not representative of the whole community, extensive research has been done to aim to be inclusive to everybody and spread awareness and progress people's viewpoints.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please?
Lucky enough to have Molly, who's a backline player, number 17 for St Mary's, and we've also got Grace, who's a ruck, number 22, who actually won best on ground for the 2019 Pride match. So we've got these two lovely St Mary's players that are come on board to have a little chat about this upcoming Pride match and also their experiences from their 2019 game, which will hopefully just lead to bigger and better things in the future. Yeah. So do you want to, one of you perhaps, talk a little bit about what the day involved?
So, you know, we go to the ground like we usually do for our footy games on Sundays. But the men had already played, is that right, Molly?
Yeah, I think so. Yep, before us.
Yeah, so when we got there, there's, you know, like a rainbow balloon banner thing over the bit where you run through the field. The ground's painted in rainbows. So it's already pretty cool. Like, you haven't seen that before.
So both clubs had Guernseys designed for the Pride round specifically, which was really cool to see all the colours and everything. It was just a normal pre-game and everything, and we did a little somewhat of a ceremony beforehand where we all lined up and got some photos in our Guernseys and everything, and then played the game, which was really good. It was a really good fair game, and then there was a little cup at the end, which was
that was cool. It was like playing a mini grand final, but even better because it's rainbow,
right?
And then
ceremony at the end for best player and took out the win, Grace.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good game. The best I've probably played before. I haven't been able to repeat that, so maybe next Pride round it'll, you know, the special powers will come back. It was pretty cool. We got to run through the balloon banner and some sick photos came out of the day. And, yeah, I think all together everyone had pretty good fun. Really inclusive. So
it sounds like a really special day. And for those that don't know, Pride Cup actually began as a powerful gesture of mateship in a country football club. So that was thanks to Jason Ball. So that was back in 2012.
We had him come out and speak at the club and do a bit of a information kind of session about it and about what Pride Round means, but also more educational as well about the LGBT community, which was really good. And it's pretty amazing what he did, and to start the Pride Round up and stuff, especially like 2012 community footy and being a man must have been super hard.
I've heard him speak before, and it's really quite
inspirational, and it was kind of heartbreaking as well because he wasn't expecting the response he had. He wasn't expecting his team to come around and just be so supportive, and they were. And I think that that's just so fantastic. And I guess that's how women's footy is a little bit different, would you say?
Yeah.
You can come in to women's football and be out and proud straight away. And
yep. The environment's definitely different.
Yeah, so how has football made you feel accepted in who you are? Because you're both a part of the community, correct?
I came from netball, which is like a small group of girls, and I played there for years. And like, I didn't know anyone that was out, not in the club at all. And then I came over to play footy. I've always wanted to play. And just like straight away, it was an accepting group of girls with a mix of people in it, which was really cool. And I just felt like you can always be yourself there. You don't have to hide your sexuality or who you are. Everyone's been super accepting. And I've not, you know, like when you play other teams and stuff, you don't hear slurs or anything like that. Everyone's just really nice to each other, and yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I've similar background just with basketball, and it's the same sort of thing. Like I'd never come in contact, but you know, it's a completely different environment, and coming to football, like, it just wasn't a thing. It was, yeah, you are who you are and that's it. And everyone's just super accepting, and just the social side of things. And I think coming up, like, I don't know, as juniors and that, and coming into that environment where you might not as be as comfortable as coming out as some of us older ones are, just to see it, and even you don't have to be out or anything, but just to be around it can be super helpful.
Yeah, I also wonder if that's because we've already had to face a little bit of adversity with female football, because you see the men's and they get such big crowds and everything like that, and we're kind of fighting for that.
Yep.
We're fighting for that whole, like, come watch us, like, we're good, like, we're getting there, we're getting better.
Yeah, I mean, like, you hear it with the professional women's footy players, and you just heard all the criticism that they received since starting, and it's like, well, the men have decades on us, and we've not had that opportunity to play from, you know, Oz Kick all the way to juniors and then up to seniors. So people maybe not as willing to give us a chance, but I think it's made us stronger in the long term. And same with, you know, being accepting to the community. You don't see that in men's football. You don't see the openness. You don't see, I mean, we're not playing with the men, so we might not see it anyway. It might be there, but, you know.
So what would you say makes football a bit different to other aspects of your life in terms of acceptance?
I don't know if it's just whether it's that team mentality that you're all one family, you're all, you're all together, and it is.
I think it's, like, it's harder now, like, not harder, but like, you don't notice the difference as much now. Like, you're out at footy and it's fun and everyone's there and accepting. And personally, I'm out in my everyday life. And so, like, in regards to sexuality and stuff, I don't hide myself much anymore. You know, you pick your occasions. But so I just think it's nice to not have to go back in the closet when you go play a sport. You know, like, you know, I used to feel like I had to do when I was younger, and maybe it's the product of age and everything. Yeah. But you know,
whereas for other people it might be the only safe space where only place where they are comfortable. You know, work or home or that, they might not be out, and even if they're not out at football, just a place where they don't have to sort of have the walls up and pretend as much.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's such a personal experience for everyone.
Yeah.
Where they're at.
Now, you did mention about the educational session, which is a big part of having a pride match or a pride round, is having that education prior to the game. Now, how do you feel that it helped the team in terms of understanding the community? Because you're both from the community, but obviously there's so much. So there's so much we've always got to learn. So how did you feel it helped the team as a whole or yourself individually?
Well, I think you're always learning, and even being in the community doesn't mean you're, like, you know everything and you're such a good ally and good, you know, involved in the community. But so I think that's really important to have someone come out and actually kind of just show that there's all these different types of people, and we're all one community, and you just kind of learn a bit more than you probably would in your day-to-day life. And yeah, and then as a team, I guess, you know, there are a lot of people that don't know much about the community, or just, you know, they're accepting, but they need that bit of a reminder that it's hard. Like, even now, it's still hard. Like, still a lot of adversity faced. So I think that's important.
I think it just, yeah, helped everyone sort of understand each other a little bit better as well. And it provided an opportunity to ask questions if people weren't sure about certain things or needed clarification, and might not have been felt able to ask anyone else about. It was just a really good opportunity to have an open discussion about the community.
Yeah, especially because I feel like sometimes I know quite a bit, but then I forget that a lot of other people in the community don't know things. Like, for instance, I talked about some questions that we could ask in our educational session that's coming up, and I realise a lot of people don't know what non-binary means and using pronouns like they, them, and that sort of thing. And I had to explain it. I'm like, I just assumed that most people know that now, and I forget those things.
I think it's something you can definitely keep stepping up as we go. I think last time it was quite a general basic understanding of,
and I,
but it can,
I think as things develop too in the community and just in society in general, it's always shifting and changing, and so everyone needs to keep up to date with that. And I think, and it's just good to know the history too, to be honest. Like, a lot of people don't realize how people, how it got there. Like, he started, was it, say, 2012, and hearing that story and things, it's really it's eye-opening, I think.
And talking about history, a lot of people don't realize that Geelong has had a lot of queer history. It's just, you got to know the right people to talk to find out the information, that sort of thing. And being in a regional area, how have you found it?
I always laugh when people call Geelong regional because it doesn't feel regional.
No,
it's doesn't. Obviously not the city, like not Melbourne, which is good. Oh, well, I mean, I've pretty much grown up here my whole life, a few years overseas and stuff. But I've always found it good. I've been pretty lucky. I've always been around good people. So, I mean, it makes you nervous. Like, we were, like, Molly and I and our friends and stuff were really heavily involved with the campaign for marriage equality. And that was really hard. Like, we did a bit of stuff around Geelong, and it's like, you know, you're just so used to being around accepting people that when you were faced with people that were not accepting, it was kind of like, oh. Like, they exist.
They're still out there.
You know, like someone yelling out the pub at you when you're doing your march, or, you know, you're on the side of the road with cars honk their horns and stuff, and people are yelling stuff at you. It's kind of like, shocks you a bit. But overall, there were a few people compared to the rest that we were supporting.
Yeah. So I guess a good thing to remember is to not let you down. Don't let that small, that minority that's homophobic, transphobic, that sort of thing, get you down, because there's those allies that we do have, they're louder.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what I found. Like, I'm a bit different. I grew up in Adelaide and stuff, but I've been here for 6 years or so. And since, that campaign and being at the first Geelong March and everything, and just seeing those numbers, like, for a regional area, it was huge. Like, it was awesome to see that support. And even through the campaign, like, even though we got a few of those comments and everything, all the toots and everything, like, there was so much support as well.
Yeah.
And it was really cool just driving around and seeing, like, in the shop windows and everything that, you know, just the signs of support and stuff that you don't usually see day to day. You don't see it around. So it was,
yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. I think we had 1,000 people at the first rally, which was pretty sick. I think it's the biggest one we've had. And it's good still, even after we won, thank God. But even after that, you know, the Geelong Rainbow Group Inc. Yeah, that's it. They do still do a lot. And we have Pride, a Pride weekend every year, or, you know, COVID's ruined it. Yeah. But they still do that, which is good. And I think it's important to keep going.
And we still have things like the Geelong Pride Film Festival and stuff like that.
Love it. Sick.
And they made that really accessible this year. Like there was the online streaming and that sort of thing, which was great because a lot of people still have a little bit of COVID anxiety. Especially because we keep having these little outbreaks. So it's like, I don't want to leave.
It does make me nervous. Yeah. Yeah. And like growing up, we didn't have that. Like, with the Pride Film Festival thing, like I remember, so my mum works with Bethany and they get the emails about it. And so she's like, oh, let's go to the cinema and we'll see this movie. Went with like some family friends and it was like, I mean, it was a bit awkward because it's lesbians, but with your parents is not the funnest thing. But but like, no, it was good to actually like go to the movies and watch something that like, you know, includes you. Growing up, it's like, you don't, I didn't have that.
Mm.
And so it's pretty cool, all this stuff people are doing in the community.
Mm. And now you don't have to search for it as much either. Like it's there, it's accessible. Yeah. It's not something that you've got to...
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something you've got to hunt down for, because in the past few years it's made it so much more accessible and easier. So if you are newly out, that sort of thing, you can find those access, like the... Yeah. Movies and stuff without being embarrassed.
Yeah, you don't have to feel weird about it. Yeah. And they're not the gross, like, you know, 90s ones. Directed
by a man.
Where they either die or end up with a man again at the end. So there's some really good ones. And I was like, some really, really good ones out there.
Yeah. And a lot more, community consultation.
Mm.
I think that that's really great and actually made by directors and stuff that are part of the community. So it is more relatable. It's not just kill off our gay tropes.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Oh, the pain, still feel that.
So what are the differences you've noticed in regional areas between now and then in terms of growing up with acceptance and visibility? So not just movies. But in Geelong in general, that sort of thing.
Oh, we have piano bar, which was cool.
Yeah.
Like, obviously when you're really young, you don't go out to town. But never really exposed to any of, like, you know, like drag queens and things like that. And now we've got a whole bar that has drag queens every week. Like, it's so cool and it's so popular.
And it's
like,
hugely accepted by both, like, the community and... everyone.
Yeah, like you go there and you see guys in suits that have knocked off from work and you see all different types of people, which is pretty sick. Something really cool.
Yeah.
It is very diverse and they do support the community as well through other events and that sort of thing.
Well, I think Piano Bar itself was a massive supporter of the campaign for marriage equality, but also the guy that owns it, was from Geelong or from somewhere regional.
And Aaron?
Yeah, somewhere regional. And so, like, he moved to the city and came back and started, I don't know, like, I can't remember the full story, but it was kind of like it wasn't okay for him back then, but now there's this space and it's pretty cool that that's available.
Yep. Yeah, and there are other places like Cafe Baron Scoops. Have you been
there? Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, the owners of that are nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really lovely.
Yeah, they do
Mark
a lot.
Makes some really good cakes.
Shout out.
Yeah, so obviously this year, thanks to COVID, it's going to be very different. Yeah. And it is really great that we can still have that togetherness because last year we all had to train like in our pairs or whatever. Yeah. How did you find that? How did you cope through that?
I don't know. It was hard. Obviously, it was hard. It was different.
Like at the start, was it the start of last year and training in separate groups?
We had
of 10?
Like four groups of 10 or something.
Yeah, it was quite strange, a bit weird, but it was kind of like, well, hopefully it means we get to play.
And it's better than nothing. Like it's better on,
And then we didn't play and it was kind of, I mean, I don't know.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it was.
Like,
yeah,
it's hard. Like, especially when it's such a big part of your life, footy, and then like you know our club's so social. Like when you're on a full season, every weekend there's something, or every second weekend. So, not having that as well was a bit,
bit
weird.
Yep.
But you still kept training and everything like that, because it's, I think that that's the thing with football, is it's really important for mental health for a lot of people. Mm. Like it gets them that interaction, that physical exercise, gets yep. them serotonin running. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, well, we would try, like my partner played footy as well, so we would try and go out for a kick and everything at the Oval, and it was great. Mm. Like everyone, the ovals were packed of just everyone having a kick, because it's almost all yeah. you could do. But it was cool that you could still do, like it's a sport that you can still do even with just one other person. You can get out and...
Yeah, because as a team, we obviously had to stop on and off and then all together. But yeah, same sort of thing. Like when you could, when you were allowed to meet up with friends for a kick, I think we did. Mm. And we were pretty lucky with our friend group and stuff. We all play footy, so we all get around it. Or we even had Zoom sessions of watching the AFL, watching the footy game. Yeah, so like that was something we'd do every weekend, go watch the footy at someone's house. Yeah. So it was cool we still did that sort of thing.
Yeah, we did a few like Zoom workouts.
That yep. was Zoom yoga.
Mum teaches yoga, and so we did Zoom yoga, and we did Zoom painting and drinking, which was fun. You kept your social aspects up as much as you could. You could do. I mean, it's nice not having to get out there in the cold sometimes, in the middle of winter.
Freezing rain.
Yeah, of course. So with this year being a little bit more low-key, and just because it's, as we've seen with Geelong Rainbow Festival this year, that got canned so last minute, which was so devastating, but they still held their head high, like, we'll make it bigger and better next year. Yep. So that's the thing. What would you like to see next year that's bigger and better for us?
I think we were saying before we started this that we would like – all clubs, like at this stage, it's sort of only one game per round that's special pride for each div, and that would love to see all games in the round, just to make it a full round, everyone get involved.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Make it more official. Like I know this year I was saying a lot of clubs have done their own sort of pride round, like wearing rainbow socks and stuff, but nothing like, not the official capacity and not what it can be. Like I don't know what next week's going to hold, but the 2019 one, they went all out for it.
Mm.
But it would be pretty nice for every club to experience that.
Mm. Well, a thing that I found was, because I didn't actually get to see the women's game in 2019 because I was playing at the same time.
Yeah.
So, have it as an exhibition match.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, is that I raced from our game to the men's one. So I did see that, and I saw, what was it, 82-82, like a quality win.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. But, yeah, that's the thing, is that they don't make it. It wasn't made so everyone could sort of be there and support
it. Get around it.
And, I know that some other sports have talked about using some facilities around Geelong that actually have, like, three ovals, that sort of thing. Like, I think, was it the Belmont Complex?
Or Torquay, where we played finals, there were a number of ovals.
So have a few games playing at once. Mm.
And just have it,
That would
just
be
massive.
Sick. And have, like, a big day of... instead of people playing at separate grounds, even if they're all doing Pride, having it at one.
Yeah.
That would be cool. You can have so many things on.
Imagine the crowd
that
we could get. We wouldn't be used to it. It might crack under the pressure. That would be so cool. And,
I think there's, heaps of room to grow. Just hopefully it just keeps
going. Hopefully.
Definitely. So, do you have a word of advice for others, perhaps? A take-home message?
About football? About
whatever you like.
I think with footy, just give it a crack if you're thinking about it. You should just, find your local club or a friend that plays somewhere and then just go give it a go. And I almost didn't keep playing after the first couple training sessions because I was rubbish. But I stuck at it and I'm still... just a bit better than rubbish, but I have so much fun doing it.
You can't be that rubbish.
Nah,
you
have fun doing
it. The medal.
It's good. The perseverance, just to keep at it, and you'll have access to such a good community.
Get amongst it.
Did you both get roped in by friends or?
I had a friend that plays
for St Mary's for netball that I went to school with. And she's like, oh, they're starting a women's football team next year. And I've always wanted to play, but I was at St Albans and they didn't have one at the time. But they've got one this year, which is really sick. Yeah, so we just went over there and gave it a go. And then same like the Molly's were interested.
I was friends with Grace and then so they heard about it from there. So we heard and then
and
that's sort of where our friendship, a big part of our friendship group started. Like we were friends beforehand, but we've gained so many more friends since.
Yeah, and that's it. Like if you want to find someone, people in your community, like if you are part of the LGBT community, you know, if you start playing football, you'll meet people. And it's pretty cool because it is hard sometimes to meet people that are like-minded to you. And, yeah, I think you'll find that in football.
Yeah, it can be hard. Like when I started, I didn't actually know anyone in Geelong that played football. Like I was almost playing for a Melbourne team and then some situations changed and I started looking around and I just went to teams that I knew no one and it was daunting.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone is so supportive and welcoming and I would never have thought that I could just do that and I did. And
I think that's, it's, like we've played sport our whole life and I've never sort of been involved in something quite like being part of a football team. Like it's something completely different. Yeah. The social side and the accepting side and just the fun, like it's once you start you can't leave. Like it's
I keep thinking I'm not old
yeah, my body's breaking,
my body, maybe this
but
is
I can't
it.
Give it up
and then and then you miss a training and you're like, oh
hang on, how old's your oldest player though?
We've got some mums that play.
We've got some mums,
not that means that they're old, but like we've got some
women. I don't want to say ages because I don't know. I don't want to.
We've got a couple in their mid 40s.
Yeah,
so
you're
not old.
No, not
my
old.
My body feels old.
I couldn't play this at 40. Jeez, they got superhuman strength to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know, it's just like you think your maybe life will take me away from football, just with commitments and doesn't brings you back.
Yeah.
There's always room for footy, but exactly. Yeah, but the pride, like having the pride round and stuff, just makes it better.
Mm.
It means that the you know, the footy club itself is more accepting. Like, you're not so scared. Like, you might have good friends that play footy that are out, but at least the club as well is there to back
shows
you up.
Shows they support you as well.
Yeah. Mm. And yeah.
Do you have a different take-home advice, Molly? Under pressure.
Under pressure. I think we've covered a lot there. Yeah. Not really. Just, get amongst footy. Be yourself as much as you can and there'll be people that always support you.
Mm. Yep.
There's always people out there.
For sure. Clubs just keep working towards this equality in pride rounds and Indigenous rounds and doing all these things to include minority groups. And I think hopefully, you know, in the next 10 years, maybe the men's footy will start seeing some out proud men, but we'll see.
Yeah. Mm. Fingers crossed.
That's the next step.
So this year, 2021, we are lucky enough, Drysdale Hawks, to be a part of this year's Pride Round. So it's really great. So we're going to be starting off at 1 p.m. our Division 2 against St Mary's. And then at 3 p.m. we're going to have Div 1 St Mary's versus Grovesdale. But obviously I play for Drysdale, so I'm going to interview Drysdale players. So we've got Georgie, who uses the pronouns she, her, and she's a runner for us. She used to play, but now she just yells orders at us and makes sure we're doing the right thing and passes along whatever the coach wants. And we've also got Steph, who's new to the team. Her pronouns are she, her, and she's just an absolute gun midfielder, so we're lucky to have her. And let's start with what you're looking forward to in this Pride game, because we haven't done it before, we haven't been a part of it, and I just think this is really quite cool, quite amazing. So what are you looking forward to?
Excellent question. I think the Pride round itself is just a great, I guess, day of celebrating, but also just raising awareness around the community. but also just in the lead up, like I think the education that we listened to earlier, like it's an excellent opportunity just to sort of really bring attention to the issues that are faced by the LGBTQ community, and you know, how people can be more supportive and how we can, you know, get everyone up to, I guess, a level playing field, so to speak, of inclusion and the like, and health and all of that. So I think it's, yeah, it's the whole process leading up to the Pride Round that produces that education for the wider communities is probably one of the things that I most look forward to.
Yeah, I think much the same for me. I think something like a Pride Round really highlights how great community sport is. I'm really excited for Drysdale to be involved, and I think it's really beautiful that clubs can come together to celebrate something bigger than just a football match. And I'm just really excited to see heaps of rainbow everywhere. And you know, it's these days always have such a fun, inclusive, just awesome feel about them and vibe about them, and I think it'll be really exciting to see even the spectators there who maybe usually wouldn't come down to a footy match, maybe popping down because they feel like it's somewhere where they'll be accepted on that day. And, to celebrate something more than just a football game, I think is really cool.
Now, obviously, we're all a part of Drysdale, so we know how inclusive and accepted we feel at football. But how has it made you feel accepted? Like, do you have a special moment that you want to share? Or football in general?
Like I said, I'm fairly new to Drysdale. I think I have been around for maybe a couple of months now, but probably like just from the Drysdale perspective, just it was no eyelids batted or anything when, you know, my partner Meg also, or wife I should say, Meg, came along to games and to trainings, just automatically just welcomed in. There was no assumption that I had a boyfriend or a husband, and to see just both Meg and I just be straight away just embraced into the Drysdale community and people showing interest in ourselves and, you know, from a football perspective, but also outside of football. So just straight away just felt that sense of ease and comfort at Drysdale.
A specific moment, maybe not, but when I started at Drysdale, as you said, I played a season and now I'm the runner, and the reason that I hang around the club like a bad smell is because of how awesome it is. And it is a really important place for me socially, and it's where a lot of my social connectedness to LGBTQIA plus people is. And so I started at Drysdale when I actually was questioning my own sexuality, and I didn't have a lot of safe places where I could go to in Geelong, or I wasn't aware of many safe places where I could go to, but I felt like football, women's football, and the Drysdale Football Club would be somewhere where I could go and feel accepted. And so I've really experienced that through my involvement at Drysdale Footy Club and with my partner now, Tony. Same as what you said, Steph, we, you know, Tony will come along to training or games, and it's just nobody ever thinks twice about it, and she's just been so accepted by everyone. And also, you know, she's moved from overseas, so that's been a really important social connection for us, and so I just love the Drysy Footy Club for that.
How has football been different to other aspects of your life?
I think going into football, I probably joined about 7 years ago, and I think you kind of already have that awareness and understanding that it is that sort of safe place, particularly for women footballers, because I guess it was a space created by women. But at the time I joined, you know, you sort of had that awareness that it was an inclusive space, where it differs to other environments, maybe more so you just have that unknowing, like if you go to a workplace or if you go somewhere else, you just don't know whether it's an inclusive environment or not. So I definitely would hold back details on my private life in certain workplaces, and not to say that they were a bad place, because they may have been very inclusive and accepting, but I just didn't want to kind of take that risk, if you know what I mean. Like, I just wasn't prepared to, I just wanted to go in and do my job or whatever, and just didn't want to have to deal with potential negativity. So I guess it was more around just, yeah, having a sense of knowing that football and in a way, women's football was a safe space compared to other places. You just don't know if they are or not.
Yeah, and we were talking about this before, and you sort of mentioned it, how, like, sometimes our language will say things like partner, for instance. We won't say girlfriend or wife because we're not sure what reception that's going to have, and how in football it's not assumed that it's a boyfriend or anything like that. But I've had it before where you say partner and people assume, oh, you have a boyfriend. It's like, no.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Or they just, you know, even if you just say you went on a date or not at all, if they're just inquiring about your dating life and just assuming that it's going to be with boys. Yeah, I've definitely had that and have experienced the same sort of thing at different workplaces or just different spaces where, yeah, you don't necessarily want to out yourself, if I can use that language. Like people sort of see this idea of coming out as like a singular event, but for a lot of the LGBTQIA plus community, it can actually be something that you're having to do almost every day. And, you know, anytime I meet someone new, still all these years later, I still think about, okay, am I going to out myself to this person? How is that going to be received? And sometimes I will just choose not to because I just don't have the emotional energy to deal with it, or I'm not sure how it's going to be received yet. As you say, it might be a bit of a risk to do that. That's just I've never felt that at the footy club or in any of the social circles there. You know, I played netball growing up, and footy's just way more fun than netball, so that's the other difference.
That's actually really quite funny, because one of the St. Mary's players actually started off in netball and went to football. She saw the good side, saw the better sport.
Totally. Agreed.
So what would you say it's like living in a regional area? And obviously, Steph, you've only just moved, so maybe you could... Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Bendigo, so I'm from a regional town. Yeah, yeah. I lived there until I was, into 18, went to uni, then came back to Bendigo and worked in my early 20s. Bendigo's a lot better now, but probably when I was growing up, it's not a very inclusive town. Like, it was, it's quite, it was homophobic and racist, and it's definitely getting better, and it's a lot better due to a work of a number of people there. But certainly growing up, there wasn't a lot of representation. It was not really discussed or talked about, that it would even be, you know, something that, I guess, heterosexual relationships would even be something that could occur. I do remember, like a fish and chip shop, a milk bar, I think, around the corner from where I used to live growing up. There was a same-sex male couple that were running it, and I remember something like they got bricks thrown through the windows or something. And at the time, like, I didn't identify as anything really at that point. But just like those kind of things just sort of sow their seed in your mind, sort of impact on your level of comfort to, as you get older, start to, you know, recognize maybe, you know, your inner feelings or sort of how you might relate. And I think, yeah, that experience probably is part of the reason why I probably took until my, you know, mid-20s to be comfortable, or not even be comfortable, but to sort of even talk about how I was feeling, and then until probably my early 30s to even feel comfortable being who I am. But then, so I don't know whether that's just 20 years of time or 30 years of time that things have evolved, but now sort of moving from Melbourne to down to Ocean Grove and sort of regional area, it seems to be again, just a bit more progressive. I don't seem to have any issues. I guess it's because you choose who you associate with, you know, in terms of friends, in terms of, yeah, the football, you kind of do just seek out those safe places. Mm-hmm. But probably for the first time ever, I'm sort of like what George was saying before, outing myself, but I am doing it on a regular basis and feeling okay to do that in workplaces and when I meet people and that sort of stuff. So I don't know if that's just me growing up and becoming more comfortable, whether it's the community in general becoming more accepting and just more aware. But certainly, yeah, my experience so far now in this regional area has been, I've only had positive experiences so far, which is great.
It's a big question. No surprise that
My story is similar in a lot of ways to Steph. I think there has been a lot of progress, and that is, yeah, as you said, due to the work of a lot of people just doing a lot of tireless work. So it is getting better slowly. It's never going to happen as fast as we want it to, but it is getting better slowly. And I grew up as, I guess, what I could describe as straight passing. Mm-hmm. And it was always just assumed that I was straight and that I would be straight and that I would grow up and marry a man and have lots of beautiful babies. That was kind of, you know, that was the narrative that everybody had kind of planned for my life. And looking back on it now in hindsight, you know, I feel differently about it. But yeah, I was much the same, not until I was in my mid to late 20s that I started to actually really question that and explore that and then be comfortable to accept that and to let other people know that that's who I was and that's how I was feeling. And I think for young people coming up in a regional town, it's hard to find those places where you can go and socialize and be safe and have fun. In Geelong, I can think of a handful of places where, you know, there's some really cool and fun nightlife that you can go, whereas in Melbourne there would be many, many places where you could go and, like, meet people and have a good time and know that you're going to be safe and accepted. And I think that's an area where regional places are still really lacking. I think as someone that's in, like, a long-term relationship in a regional town and maybe a bit older now and feeling a bit more assured in myself, I think that's a different experience to, like, a young person growing up in a regional town. And I think it's – I can't talk on behalf of all young people. I can just sort of talk about – you know, I work with young people, so I can just talk about kind of maybe what I see and what I think. And, yeah, I think it is still challenging for young people to come up in a regional town and feel like they have places to go and people to talk to and some visibility for them.
Yeah, definitely. We have come a long way, as Steph's mentioned, but we still have a while to go. Like, you're right about those services in regional areas. And yeah, on the plus side, technology has been a great thing. Like, I remember we just had the one computer at home. Like, there is no way I could get on that and, like, Google anything, whereas now it's so much more accessible, at least. But yeah, so would you say that acceptance and visibility is better in regional areas?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, as I was saying before, along that spectrum of time, I've changed and I'm more comfortable. So how I see things now may be different. But I'm also speaking from a very privileged position where I've got a very accepting family and friends, and I really appreciate acknowledge that my experience is definitely different to a lot of others, and that I haven't had any negative or adverse experiences in coming out. So I guess it's hard for me to probably answer that question well. But I guess probably my thing would be that I did probably hide myself or not be as open and honest with certain, in certain, say, friendships or whatnot, and so therefore didn't allow those friendships to potentially foster and develop because I was always holding something back. So maybe there was some missed opportunities for me there, but by and large I've been really well supported by family and close friends. So my experience here, like I said, is I appreciate it's probably different to a number of others.
Yeah, that's a really hard question to answer accurately, and I can only speak from my own experiences and my own life, I guess. And yeah, I just want to echo what Steph said. We need to acknowledge that it's different for everyone, and there's different places where people's life intersect, and so that can be challenging depending on who you are and what your background is. But yeah, so there's been progress. There's lots of things are better. There is a bit more visibility now. There's a bit more acceptance. It's a bit more normalized, I guess, particularly for maybe like gay or lesbian, bisexual. I think we've still got a little way to go with like trans and non-binary, just with education and, you know, slowly over time, hopefully that will happen. But yeah, I can really only speak from my own experience that I think it is getting better. I mean, my perspective on it is a little bit different again, because I was straight passing and I was kind of really comfortable in that. And I kind of, in a way, that was a privilege, being able to be straight passing for so much of my life. So I was really oblivious to a lot of this until I was, you know, 23, 24. And then it was like someone just slapped me in the face, and all of a sudden I was aware of all of these issues and how hard it really is but only because I was having to experience it for myself. Yeah. And I think that's the real shame is unless you know, you don't, I guess. And so I think that's where education is really important. And it's not just education for our rainbow community. It's education for the whole community to really bring them in on that conversation and make those challenges be known.
Yeah. And like Steph mentioned as well, with that privilege about being accepted by your family, because I've met so many people that don't. And I guess that's another important thing that we also took from that education session that we had for Pride Cup, is that sometimes people find themselves another family in sport because they don't have that biological family. Like, they've been kicked out, or it's just abusive, or they've had to get away from that. So for a lot of people, sport, that is where their family is. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great to have that community be able to, and people do talk about sport clubs as being their sort of second family or their family. And I think, like, sort of on George saying with their visibility, is that it's I was similar to you, straight passing, and for me, I think it probably my challenge was taking so long to identify was that I didn't see anybody that looked like me, and I guess a stereotype of a lesbian or whatever was, you know, your stereotype, you know, butch, whatever you want to say, and I just didn't that. I was like, well, how, I'm not like that, so then how can I be like, you know? So it was really hard to kind of come to terms with that. So I think in terms of the visibilities around that representation of, it's all different people that look differently, act differently, you know, there's no one size fits all, or there's no cookie cutter model. And I think sport's been really great for that, and particularly women's sport with the AFLW and different things starting to get a bit more mainstream, or representation into the mainstream of people that look different, and so it makes it easier to sort of see yourself, I guess, in those people, but also, I guess, then for families to see that it's, you know,
it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, definitely progress on that visibility, I think.
Yeah, and moving a little bit along to going a little bit back to the Pride Cup, what this whole little interview's about. So obviously COVID has had a huge impact. Like, we weren't sure if we're going to have spectators, and now we've got a limit on spectators, but that's okay because we can still have an event and we can still have friends and family and whatnot come along. So that's fantastic. So obviously we want to be a part of it next year, and hopefully COVID, we're all vaccinated, so we're all good to go and we can have millions of people. We can only dream, right? Might get stage fright, but that's okay. What are you hoping to see next year for Pride Cup? I've left you speechless.
That's such a big question. Like, as soon as anyone says Pride Cup, in my head, I just see rainbows everywhere. and then you said millions of spectators. So, like, my brain is just like a festival of rainbows right now. I think what I'd really love to see, and I think it is happening slowly, but I'd like to see men's teams come on board a little bit more. And I know they are starting to come on board and they do have a pride round. But, you know, I think there is not a lot of visibility of men that identify as not heterosexual in AFL. And I think that must really impact you if you're a young male footy player and you're in a footy club, and sometimes that culture cannot always be super welcoming to anyone that identifies a little bit differently. And again, you know, I'm not that person, so I can't talk to their experience, but just from talking to guys that I'm friends with who play footy and who maybe are questioning how they identify, and their football team hasn't always felt like the safest place for them. And I think that's a real shame. So I'd like to maybe see that come a little way.
Yeah, because it's one thing having a Pride Cup, but the thing is that, I guess, as women's teams, Barwon League, majority of it, there is acceptance there. There's visibility. It's quite different for the men's because, yes, they do partake in a pride round, but they don't necessarily have that visibility. They might have some acceptance, but we don't have that visibility yet.
Mm. Yes, that's what I was trying to say. You said it much better.
I try sometimes. Yeah. Do you have anything to sort of add to that, Steph?
Oh, like, yeah, I'd agree with Georgie. Like, just to see that the actions, you know, the cultural change, which will take time. But, yeah, it's not just, putting on some rainbow socks. It's actually, putting the effort in to have those conversations and educate and make those changes to create those safe places because, yeah, as I guess, female identifying, we're able to get that safe place. But if you're not, then those safe places, if you're trans or male, those safe places aren't necessarily existing potentially. In terms of just fun stuff at the event, I'm a huge fan of drag. And drag queens. I don't like drag kings. I haven't really seen any, and I feel like drag kings could get some more visibility.
I know a few.
But drag queens have got a bit of visibility, and I love drag, and I would love to see drag queens, and more than happy to see some drag kings as well. So that would be fun.
I can maybe make it happen next year.
Festival of Rainbows in my head just got so much better. that would be incredible. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, for sure. Going back to the whole men's thing, I think maybe we need to see it on that national level, on that AFL level, having more acceptance. Because I know going to some of the kids' games and they get a little bit theatrical, and it's like, yeah, they watch a fair bit of AFL on TV, like you can really tell. So if they had that visibility, that maybe they would be more comfortable. Because they've got a lot of role models that they aspire to, so.
I think that's part of it. I also think you can't have diversity without inclusivity, and you can't have inclusivity without diversity, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a two-part solution.
Yeah.
You know, you need the visibility, but you also really need that culture of acceptance because you can have all of the people on TV or in your life as you want who you might see as giving off that image of something that you might identify with. But if you don't have those spaces where you actually feel safe to live that out for yourself, then it's kind of pointless.
And you touched on before, Sarah, like technology being a great help, but then obviously the double-edged sword of being a huge hindrance and for, you know, whoever that person may be to come out on the national stage, well, then what are they going to cop in their, you know, personal messages on social media or when they're at a game in a crowd? And I can totally understand, you know, there may be some openness potentially behind doors within the club, but it's the out in the public and, you know, we still don't have racism, you know, under control or stamped out in the community. So it's just another slur that, you know, public can use against someone. And, I could only think to imagine what that would do to somebody's mental health and whatnot to, you know, going to their workplace effectively, which is a football field, and be abused. So I can understand why, potentially people are not forthcoming at this point in time.
Yeah. So do either of you have a word of advice for others? Football related, LGBTIQA+ related, mental health related, just whatever you want to say.
Yeah, that's still, I feel like a big responsibility with that. I think easier said than done, but do your best to surround yourself with good people. Anybody that's going to, you know, put you down or make you feel like you're less than worthy or anything like that, then just don't put up with them. Get rid of them. You're better off being alone than being surrounded by people that are going to be toxic. So try and surround yourself with good people. And probably one of the best things I ever did was I got really comfortable being with myself, being on my own. It was okay. I, you know, went overseas on my own and got comfortable with who I was and myself. And that's been something that's really helped me moving forwards, just to get that confidence and I'm okay on my own. That's, you know, but so it's kind of contradictive of each other. It's like surround yourself with good people, but also learn to be comfortable and happy with who you are. They're probably my main points.
Yeah, look, I don't know if I'm qualified to give anyone advice, but some things that have really helped me, I suppose, have been accepting myself first. And I think, and that could be with anything. That's not just, you know, I mean that in terms of my sexuality and my gender expression and all of the, you know, my gender identity and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Accepting myself first, but it could also be a whole bunch of other things. I think everyone can maybe work on spending a bit more time with themselves, getting to like themselves. We belong to a society and a culture that tells us that it's not cool to like ourselves, but I think my advice to you would be it's really cool to like yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like yourself, who is? Do you know what I mean? Because if you're so worried, like if you don't like yourself, then you're always seeing every social interaction or you seeing your whole life through that lens of I don't like myself, so therefore I, you know, no one else really can. So I think, yeah, accept yourself first, love yourself first, and don't worry about everyone else. And you can't always, like those toxic people in your life, you won't always be able to move away from them. You know, if they're your family or something, that can be really tricky, but definitely find your people that you can kind of escape to and be around and learn to accept and love yourself, and the rest will kind of fall into place, I think, for me anyway.
And that's a wrap for this week's From Paddocks to Pride on OCRFM. So just as a little reminder, the Pride Cup is this Sunday, the 27th, and kickoff will be beginning at 1 p.m. with the Division 2 St. Mary's versus Drysdale, and 3 p.m. is St. Mary's 1 versus Grovedale. So really looking forward to it, and hopefully to see some familiar faces. So that's the end of this week's From Paddocks to Pride episode. If you'd like to follow us on Facebook, it's From Paddocks to Pride. On Instagram, we're @from_paddocks_to_pride. If you'd like to listen live, you can listen live 98.3 FM Colacan District or 88.7 FM along the coast, or stream us online at ocrfm.org.au. As our live episodes are actually slightly different to our podcast. So maybe check it out and see what one you prefer. And let us know, do you prefer our podcast version or our live radio? Let us know. Be really curious. You can also contact us via email, pride@ocrfm.org.au. We also have a YouTube account. We haven't actually added anything to it yet, but once we do, we'll update you and we'll let you know. So once again, thank you for listening to this week's podcast, and so see you later. Or if you're listening to one of our older podcasts, just click on one of the newer ones and listen to some of our newer content.